I remember as a kid getting the family copy of the Sears catalog. There's a lot in the room that don't even know what that is. But you know, back in the day, that would come and it was thick. And it was like a volume, page after page, section after section, so much to see, all that glossy paper, and of course pictures of shoes and lawnmowers, of underwear and refrigerators, gold necklaces, screwdrivers, eyeglasses, rolling pins, everything you could possibly conceive of was there in the big book. Things have changed. Deb reminded me that, you know, back in the old days, if you remember actually going into a Sears store, you would be greeted by employees. And they would, of course, have their red vest on and a name tag. Do you remember? You know, hello, my name is, I don't know, Chuck. But then there was something written under that. Hello, my name is Chuck. I am Sears. Not welcome to Sears, or I work for Sears, or something else. It was I am Sears. Some of you know Bill Hoffman, and he and I would razz each other a little bit. You know, he was fond of saying, you got to know the brand, you got to wear the brand, you got to ride the brand. And I think he's right. But it's as if the message from the Sears company seemed to be, well, no, that you have to be the brand. You are a manifestation of the company, and your behavior and your reputation, well, that's us. You represent and manifest the company, and your words and your character, well, you know, you are the face of the organization. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden, so let your light so shine before others that they see you. They see your work. They see your life. They see you and give glory to God. You are the light of the world. It's worth noting that Jesus did not say, you know, you really should be the light of the world. It's worth noting that Jesus did not say, well, I'm looking for people who are light of the world, and some of you guys are a little brighter than other ones. You know, he didn't say that either. You are the light of the world, and there's no achievement there. There's no race there. There's no ranking there, because it's not about status. It's not some passing grade or credential. You just are. You are. Present tense. Just a statement of fact. Red vest or plastic name tag or not. Rachel Held Evans wrote this book, Searching for Sunday. I've talked about this one before because the council is using this as their devotions here over the course of the year for their council meetings. It's called Searching for Sunday, Loving, Leaving, and Finding the Church. It's a nice piece, and it's really written in the style of a memoir, but she comes to all these grand, great subjects of the Christian faith. She sounds like a Lutheran, but she's not. In the chapter on baptism, she starts off this way. It is said that when Martin Luther would slip into one of his darker places, and then in parentheses, which happened a lot, the dude was totally bipolar. I bristled a little when I read, anyway. He would comfort himself by saying, Martin, be calm. You are baptized. I suspect his comfort came not from recalling the moment of his baptism or in relying on baptism as some sort of magic charm, but in remembering that his baptism signified his identity as a beloved child of God. She goes on later in the piece to quote Nadia Bowles Weber, and she talks about her own story and how that intersected with hers and the difficulties in growing up the way that she did. She writes, like Nadia, I've wrestled with the evangelical tradition in which I was raised, often ungracefully. At times I've tried to wring the waters of my first baptism out of my clothes, shake them out of my hair, and ask for a do-over in some other community where they ordain women, where they vote for civil rights, where they believe in evolution. But Jesus has this odd habit of allowing ordinary and screwed up people to introduce him. And so it was. And so it was ordinary and screwed up people who first told me I was a beloved child of God, who first called me Christian. I don't know where my story of faith will take me, but it will always begin here. And that much can never change. And then it's fascinating. Here's what she said. I was baptized by my father and by my mother, by Pastor George, by my Sunday school teachers, by my sister that used a car that sounded like a used car salesman who sang a sauntered gospel version of the old rugged cross. I was baptized by the boy who put boogers in my hair, by the little girl in the wheelchair who couldn't speak. I was baptized by Alabama, by Reaganomics, by Evangelicalism, by Parkway Christian Academy and the Bible Chapel. I was baptized by Martin Luther King Jr. and George Wallace. Do you see what she's saying? I was baptized by the sort of people who turn fish stories into sermon and listen to Rush Limbaugh and sometimes love me the wrong way. I was baptized by water and by the Spirit and by this strange bundle of atoms and genes and experiences God has assembled, delighted in, and in the act of absurd mercy named me beloved. You are the child of God. You are the light of the world. I have a friend named Ray. I've known him since I was in high school. And I don't know, by some miracle, both of us have come to enjoy way, way more than either of us ever deserved. We both married up. Do you know that expression? We both have amazing kids, though mine are a little more amazing than his. But I love Ray. I love him, you know, not because he has an important job that he does well and he stands for things that are green in our great state. I love Ray not because he's smart and funny, though he is. I love Ray not because he's talented or laughs at my jokes, though he does. I love him because I know that I'm okay with Ray. He appreciates me for exactly who I am. When I'm with him, you know, I just got nothing to hide. When I'm with him, I've got nothing to prove and nothing to lose. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So stop trying to be something else. He didn't say it exactly that way in the biblical text, but do you take his meaning? It's as if at our baptism, Jesus would have said, you know, I wasn't kidding. You know, I haven't forgotten. You know, I haven't changed my mind. You are the light of the world. Let me introduce you to this woman. Now, you wouldn't know who she was just looking at her face. In some ways, she's a giant failure. She ran for the governor's office in the great state of Colorado, has all these accomplishments to brag. She's a member of the who's who of the Women's Hall of Fame in that great state. These days, she's a writer for the Denver Post. Her name is Gail Shetler. She has advice. She has advice for people who would aspire to public office, people who would run, people who would win, people who would lose. You know what she says? Be what you is, not what you ain't, because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. I wonder if she stole that from somebody else. You are the light of the world. The light of the world. Say that with me. The light of the world. One more time. The light of the world. I am. You are. We. Yeah. Do you see the point? When disease and floods and violence make us feel afraid, we are the light of the world. When this world's false prophets and sociopaths and pretenders say something otherwise, we are the light of the world. when I'm so tempted to hit back, take revenge, and become the very thing that offends God's grace, that offends God's justice, and offends God's truth, we are the light of the world. When my life seems empty and I forget my own name, we stop, we breathe, we remember, we are. Amen. Amen.